And take your Bibles, please, while you're standing. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verses 18 through 25 together. Remain standing. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through verse 25. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. Let's read this passage responsively. Matthew 4, 18 through 25. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. They immediately left the ship, their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, that's from West Virginia, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. God, we need your presence in a very special way. Now, Holy Spirit of God, hush us. May we pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God. May we listen as though our lives and the eternities of many depend on it today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Matthew chapter 4, and let me say this, sit still, listen to me. I want to preach a truth today. I need your mind. I need you to think. I didn't bring object lesson for you, so I'll need you to use your mind, and I did that on purpose. But I want you to listen. Here in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is about 30 years old. He's beginning what we would call his earthly ministry. And earlier in the chapter, at the beginning, you see that he had been in the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights, being tempted by the devil. He'd been fasting for 40 days. That means he went 40 days with no food. That proved he was God, because there ain't no man in the world going to do that, amen? But he fasted, no food, for 40 days, being tempted by the devil himself. By the way, just so you know, temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. Problem is, we like living in temptation. And it's a whole lot easier to sin when you're being tempted. And Jesus here is beginning what we call his earthly ministry. Now, after that 40 days on the mount, he comes down, and he comes down beside the Sea of Galilee, and he looks up and he sees Peter and Andrew, his brother. And the Bible says that they were casting a net. They were casting their nets fishing. They weren't on the shore. They were probably a little ways out in their boat, and they were casting nets, and they were trying to gather up fish. It was their business. They were fishermen by trade. And he said, fellas, what you doing? They said, we're fishing. He said, if you'll leave those nets and come follow me, watch this. He said, I'll teach you to be fishers of men. He said, if you'll follow me, he said, I'm starting the church. And he said, if you'll follow me, we'll go out and go fishing for people. And you can gather people like you're now gathering fish. They said, let's go. They left their nets. They left their boat. They followed Jesus. The Bible says they went a little farther, and they saw a couple other men, and they were sitting on their boat just off the shoreline there. James and John, they were brothers. They were the son of a man named Zebedee. And they had a fishing business. The Bible says they weren't fishing, but they were mending their nets. They had probably been out fishing for a while, and they had gotten sticks and rocks caught in their nets, and there were nets that were broken, and they needed retied, and they needed everything shorn up so they could go back out and go fishing again and be productive. Jesus said, hey, fellas, you're mending your nets. You're not being productive. I'm getting ready to go start the church. Peter and Andrew are with me. Why don't you leave your nets? Come with me and I'll teach you to be fishers of men. And they said, Dad, that's Jesus. That's the Messiah. He's getting ready and we're going to follow him. We'll leave the family business to go do the work of God and with Jesus himself. And we're going to leave the fishing business to go fishing for people. I love that story. Now, wait a minute. If you'll listen to me today, I think I can help you. Now, Peter, James, Andrew, and John, look at me, folks. And I know I got one that's not wanting to pay attention up here, but we're going to take care of it, all right? So there might just be a little disturbance here, but it'll be okay, all right? But look at me. You've seen this before, so just focus right here. We now have Andrew, Peter, James, John, and Jesus. And they are going around the area called Galilee. Now look at me, if you will. Galilee was that area in Israel, Jerusalem, around the Sea of Galilee. The word Galileans, the word all those things, that's that area just to the west of the Sea of Galilee, towards the central part of Israel. Now, I want you to notice something in verse number 23 and verse number 24. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. Praise the Lord. They had rednecks back then. And those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him, watch this, a great multitude. Now, I want you to notice something. They're traveling around, and he was healing people with all manner of sickness and disease. He didn't care who they were, didn't care what the problem was. He was just reaching out, helping everybody he could help. Now, watch this. I want you to catch the truth for today. Do you know what Jesus said to his men that he had just called, Andrew and Peter and James and John? He said, leave your nets from fishing and we'll go fishing for men. And can I tell you who the fish were that they caught? All those that were sick, diseased, tormented, possessed with devils, lunatic, and had all those different things. Those are the fish they were catching. And the Bible says there were a great multitude that came to him. Can I tell you something? These sick people, these what the world would say were people that just didn't have a lot to offer, were the ones that Jesus was building that church with. Now watch this. Grace Baptist Church, child of God, it's time for you to put your fishing pole down. Time to quit fixing your net. Time to pick up a net and start throwing the net for Jesus. I want you to notice something here. God did not tell them to put their fishing pole down. They weren't fishing with a hook and line. They were fishing with a net. Did you know you catch more fish with a net than you do with a line? He doesn't want us to, and by the way, fishing with a line, that's casual. Man, if you're going to go fishing, Brother Mike, and we've gone fishing before, it takes a while to get out there, maybe even deep sea fishing, but you might get into an active time, but you do a lot of leisurely fishing. You just take that thing out there and throw it out there and kick back and you wait for the, or the, like that. It might be an hour. It might be 5 minutes. It might be all day long, but you're just enjoying being out there near the water, waiting for a fish to bite on your hook. You might even have a lure on there and throw that thing out and bring it back in, throw it out and bring it back in. You might fish and catch nothing, but at least you had time to leisurely do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Usually, you just drown your worms. That's right. But you can have some fun with it, but it's virtually just one fish at a time. And usually it's pretty casual, pretty leisurely. Can I tell you something? If you're going to go out fishing with nets and boats, that's not leisurely. You know, throw these big nets out sometimes that are 100 yards, 300, 400 feet long. They're 10, 15 feet deep. And you set those out, wait for a little while, and they have special ropes that you'll pull them up together with so that it makes like a giant basket. You begin to haul those in, and you can have hundreds and maybe even thousands of pounds of fish in those things. And back then, they didn't have motors that were bringing them in. They hauled them in by hand. They were real men, amen? They were tough men. They would drag those nets in filled full of fish, and they would just bring those things in. Can I tell you something? We need to quit casting. We need to quit angling with one fish line, one lure, one little hook. We need to put that down and gather the nets and throw out the nets. Jesus didn't say he wanted his disciples that were following to pick up their pole and follow him. He said, pick up your net and throw it into the sea. Jesus was catching them a bunch at a time, not just one by one, at his leisure. They were doing the work of God. Can I tell you something? Let's start casting our nets. Let's start casting our nets for Jesus. It's time to stop mending the net. It's time to stop fishing with a hook and line. Put that down, pick up the nets, and start throwing the nets for God. Jesus wanted to set the example of building the church. Can I tell you something? He didn't do it with a click, and we'll wait for the bobber to happen. And we'll wait, and we'll wait some more. Ooh, there's a little jiggle. I wonder if there's going to be something hit that thing. And then, oh, he's tripped my bait. Bring it back in. He didn't do that. He said, fellas, put your nets down. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, we're going to cast our nets out on the people and take a great harvest of people by fishing. The same mentality of fishing with a net they brought to building the work of God. Now, can I tell you something? I love you. It is every Christian's responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's not something that God gives you and it's a special talent. God didn't say it was the talented. There's no gift of soul winning in Scripture. Did you know it's everybody's responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Here's the problem. Too many of us are fishing with a hook and bobber. And we're waiting for somebody to bite on that thing. We're going to wait just for the right moment. And, oh, I missed them. Did you know that when you throw a net, you don't miss them? You throw it out there, and if they're in the path of that net, they're going to get it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You throw that thing out there, and then they start hauling that thing in. It's going to bring them all in. It doesn't require a lot of talent, just a lot of elbow grease, back-breaking work, and calluses on the hands making it happen. You see, did you know when you cast a net, you can't catch the wrong fish? They're catching all kinds of fish. They're catching all sizes of fish. They're happy for whatever goes into the net. Can I tell you something? Hey, Christian, pick up your net and throw it, and let's catch some fish. You say, well, I'm not well experienced. We'll put you with somebody that knows what they're doing, but you can still cast your net whether you're experienced or not. The only way to get experience is to start throwing the net. The only way to get experience is to start drawing the net. You don't get it in some classroom somewhere. You get it by doing it. You can study the net, how it's put together, who put it together, how many knots are in the net, and all the ropes that's on there, and how many strands of string are in the rope and in the net. You can know all the facts about it, but unless you get off your desk, sorry, I was thinking another word, that unless you get up off your blessed do-nothing and go out there and throw the net, you're not catching fish. I don't care how much you know about that net, unless you go do something with it, it's worthless. God said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And I want you to notice, he cast a net, not a line. It says they came in multitudes. Now listen to me very carefully here. Can I tell you something? You might not be well experienced, but throw the net. You might be a little rusty, but throw the net. You may have never done it before, but throw the net. You say, well, I might need to repair my net. That's okay. Throw it anyway. We'll get something in it. Amen. Just keep throwing the net. Let me give you a few thoughts. And I really believe I'm going to get you out on time or just a titch early this morning. Come back tonight. Maybe not. No. Number one, nets are used to catch all kinds and all sizes of fishes. Did you know that the net does not discriminate what goes into it? You throw that big old net out there. You let the fish swim around in that thing, get used to it, and then they'll get two boats usually, or they get real long line at one end, and they get the line from the other, and they kind of pull it from the middle. They'll coax that thing along, and all of a sudden they just start reeling that thing in as quick as they can to make it like a little basket out of that thing. And they start pulling that thing in. And everything in its path starts getting caught in that net. They don't care how big. If it's too little, it goes through the holes of the net. But past that, they don't care what color the fish is, what kind the fish is. They don't even care if that fish is worth, in their opinion, eating or not. They're there to catch anything they can get in that net. Watch me. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever sounds like God said, didn't matter what gets caught in the net. Whosoever sounds like whoever will get caught in that net is worth catching. Amen. I wonder if the fish inspectors were at the dock saying, well, I know that one was in the net, but I don't think it was sincerely in that net on purpose. I wonder if that fish sincerely swam into that or you got it by accident. You better throw that net or that fish back out because I don't think that fish really meant to be in that net. Poppycock. Tomfoolery. Not using another word because I'm trying to train myself so little kids don't use it the wrong way. But it's S-T-U-P-I-D, amen? Can I tell you something? We're so intellectual into man becoming his own God that we want to judge which fish should go into the net and which fish don't. Jesus said, throw the net out and catch anything they'll get in the net. Whosoever will may come. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Watch this. To every creature. Did it say to the sincere creatures? Did it say to the ones that will truly repent and turn away from their sins and they will make God Lord of their life? No, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. Man is so infatuated with himself to be God. Jesus said, fellas, let me teach you something. We're going to build this church and we're going to throw the net out. And whatever we can pull up in that net, we're going to get them. Amen. How many of you have ever caught a fish and it wasn't quite right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Got fins missing, got part of its tail nicked off because something else was chewing on it. I've been out in saltwater fishing and pull a fish up and man, it's got a hunk ripped out of it from something that hit that thing. Guess what? I was happy I caught it. Didn't matter to me, I caught a fish. I can catch fish that big and be excited. I can catch fish that big and be more excited. Can I tell you something? As long as something's on that line, I'm happy. Can I tell you something? When you go out, we're supposed to cast the net, and I promise you God will help us bring things in the net. It is time to cast the net. You can't catch the wrong person with the gospel. You can't give the message of Jesus Christ to the wrong person. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the public school says. I don't care what the Muslims say. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person.
Well, we can't talk about him in the schools or where I work because when you talk about God, that could offend somebody.
Yes, you can. Their lack of God offends me. Equal territory. By the way, let me say something right here. When you use a hook and a line, they call that angling. Angling means this. You're going after a specific species. You're targeting a very small and narrow group of fish. Now, I realize most of you don't do that. When you think of fishing, you get a hook, a weight, and a bobber. Put a big old fat night crawler on that thing, throw it out, and whatever bites it, you're happy with. But most of you aren't going to get multiple species of fish just by doing that. If you're going to go bass fishing, there's certain baits you would use, certain lures you would use. If you're going to go largemouth, smallmouth, maybe you're going to fish for perch. Fish for perch with much different than you would something else, or crappie, or any other type of fish, and you can kind of specify by the bait what you do. Hang on, Brother Mike. You're going to love this one. Brother Stoltz, you're going to represent a lost person because you do it so well. Here's what happens in your modern churches that don't believe in soul winning, door to door, doing it God's way. They'll come knock on your door and they'll say, "Hello, I'm Pastor Bush. I'm going through the area. I have a survey. I've got 15 questions I'd like to ask you. Would you take time to answer a few questions for me? Just take a few minutes." And they'll go through and say, we're interested. Do you go to church? Yes. Where? Or if you don't go to church, no. Do you have any church history?" And he was a Lutheran at one time. Whatever you were, he was a nothing. Still is, but that's okay. He's a Satan nothing. Amen. And they go through all these things. And one of the questions would be, "Are you interested in knowing for sure how you can go to heaven?" And at that point in time, if they say, "Well, yeah, I think I would be," they say, "Oh, wonderful." And they finish out their survey and say, "Mr. Stoltz, it sure was nice to see you." And they go back over here. He goes back into his house. And they take their little survey sheets and they go back to their church and turn them in. And they say they've been soul winning. Because then the ones that have that certain question checked off, they're going to send the pastoral staff and trained soul winners to go after those people so that we don't waste our time. We can target much better and more efficiently do what we are supposed to do. Garbage. Wonder how many people will die and go to hell because they didn't check the right box on a survey. Brother June, I've been out soul winning thinking, man, there ain't no way that dude's going to listen to me. There's no way that guy with tattoos from his fingertips all the way up to his nose, and he looks like he could eat nails for breakfast and little boys for lunch and grandma's for dinner. I'm thinking, ain't going to work. Say, what did you do? Did you take a survey, preacher? No. I said, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? Nope. Would you like to know? Yep. Open up my Bible, leading down the Romans road. Watch that big old burly fella that eats nails for breakfast bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, I didn't think he was going to get saved. But I've watched them get saved by the thousands that way. By the thousands. Now, the one that comes to the door dressed in his business suit, I'm thinking, hot dog, I got a chance. Usually he's the first one to slam the door in my face. The one I thought would listen to me won't. The one that did listen to me, I didn't think would. Who are we to play God? Who are we to drop the net, start pulling it in and say, you have to get out of the net. You're not ready yet. You didn't fill the right box in on the survey when I threw the net. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No, Jesus said, just catch them all, amen. Did you know you can't tell the wrong person how to get saved? You say, preacher, I'm a little scared to tell somebody. Why? I'm scared they're going to die and go to hell. There's a real hell with real fire where the real devil lives, and people who die without being saved burn and go there for eternity. I am more afraid of them dying and going to hell than I am somebody might laugh at me for telling them about Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a good statement. Number two. A net is made to catch as many at a time as we can. A net is made to catch as many at a time as we can. Everybody look at me for a second. Did you know we're supposed to get as many people saved as we can? It's not a matter of, and I get this criticism, numbers, 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 numbers. Is all you're worried about is numbers. No, every one of those people that gets saved doesn't die and go to hell. While they tally their numbers and complain about numbers, people are dying and going to hell because they won't do anything. Everybody doing all right? Watch this. This is where we've come in Christianity today. We catch a fish. And we say, oh, you're my fish. Come here. I got a fish. Now, I'm going to take you with me, and I'm going to disciple you. I am going to teach you how to be a bigger fish and make more fish. And we spend the next 12 weeks together going to classes. And we spend the next 12 weeks going to more classes. And we fill out 4, 5, 6 pamphlets and books each week. And then we see, are you ready to grow even more? Have a seat. Garbage. Yes, sir. And we have left our nets to throw this one in a bucket and spoon feed it to be a bigger fish. God said, pull the net. Throw all the fish in a boat. Let's go get more fish. Did you know we're all supposed to go fishing, not make bigger fish? Some of us make bigger fish naturally. But can I tell you something? We're not supposed, and by the way, I believe in growth in grace. But what modern people are calling discipleship is not discipleship. The word disciple means excelled, learned one. It literally means a college student. Discipleship are for those that leave to go to the ministry. In 1980, none of your business, 1985, I left my mom and dad's house at 1250 Elwood Canton, drove out the driveway, went about 75 feet, turned left, got on 13th Street, went all the way up to Raff Road, turned right, got on Route 30 and drove about 7 hours to get to Indiana to go to Bible college. I left my mom and dad to be trained for the ministry, and I became a preacher because God had called me into the ministry. That's called being a disciple. Can I tell you something? God didn't call everybody in this room to be a disciple. He did tell you to grow in grace. Well, we need to disciple our converts. No, we need to help them grow in grace. One of the parts of growing in grace is telling others about Jesus Christ. We're so worried about them becoming a disciple. That's why it says, unless you're willing to leave father and mother and brethren and kindred, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Hey, did you know, Neil, God did not ask you to leave your family to grow in grace? Brother Mike, God didn't ask you to leave your whole family to grow in grace. He asked me to leave my family to go serve him full time as a man of God. That's what leaving to become a disciple is all about. Not leaving your family. Well, you ought to be willing to leave your family to grow as a Christian. That's stupid. Sorry, that's not intelligent. Got to get that word fixed. Can I tell you something? God is happy with every fish that's caught. But I think he's more happy when more fish are caught. You know, I am not against somebody. Listen to me. Those churches that have their surveys and they call that soul winning and they eventually see people get saved. Do you know I'm not gonna rebuke them or tell you that they're wrong as far as I'm happy for the people they get saved. I just think their method is not right. I almost used that word again. I shouldn't. Can I tell you something? They're getting one at a time, and I'm happy for the one at a time they're getting. But some of them could get 10, 20, 30, 40, hundreds, thousands at a time if they put their pole down, start throwing the net out. Quit worried about their bait. You don't use bait with a net. You just go out there and haul the net. Can I tell you something? We've got the net right there. Not the internet. We've got the gospel net. Everybody doing all right? Having fun here. Hang on. You see, well, numbers. You know, I think God is happy with one person to get saved. But I think he's happier when 1,000 get saved. You're happy if somebody would give you $1. You'd be more happy if somebody gave you $1,000. Can I tell you something? God's happy if you give him one convert. But he's more happy if you give him hundreds or thousands. Everybody doing all right? It's not a numbers thing. It's a matter of pleasing God and keeping people out of hell. We are to throw the net, not just a line. And when you start throwing a net, it's amazing what happens. Can I tell you something? This little old church, Grace Baptist Church, 3 years and 5 months we've been around. Over 2,000 people have gotten saved. Can I tell you why? We just keep throwing the net. We've had 57 visitors in the first 7 weeks of this year. We had visitors 51 out of 52 weeks last year. Can I tell you why? We just keep throwing the net out. 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 I told a pastor this morning, I said, you have a bigger lake, and you got a bigger net, but I'm still throwing mine. You keep throwing yours. Might not have as big a lake and might not have as big a net, but guess what? We can all keep throwing the net. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Number three. Listen to this and we'll be done. Casting or throwing the net requires much work. It's not leisurely. Brother Mike, you and I have been fishing. We went out on Potomac River and out in the, that's it. I knew it was a bay there. Couldn't think of which one it was. I'm preaching, not thinking, amen. Went out on the Chesapeake Bay there. We were catching blues and stripers and a couple mackerel. We may have caught 40, 50 fish all day long. See, that's a lot. If we'd have had a big old 300-foot long net pulling behind that boat, it wouldn't have been a leisurely fishing trip. We'd have been hauling in thousands and thousands. We'd have had so many fish, we'd have been sick of doing it. Say, why? Because you'd be so tired, you wouldn't want to catch anymore. Don't throw it back out. We got too many fish. That's what I'm talking about. Can I tell you something? It would go from leisurely with a line, one line at a time, to when you're working it, pulling up thousands at a time or hundreds at a time with a net and a rope. Can I tell you something? Soul winning is not to be done leisurely. Well, when I get around to it, and God will bring somebody to my path, and at the right time, it's all going to happen. My Bible doesn't say, sit ye in your house and wait for somebody to knock on your door and say, what must I do to be saved?
Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 or 18 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always." Notice all the verbs there. Go, preach, teach, go, teach, preach, baptize, bring. Hey, those are action words. Sitting is not an action word. Waiting is not an action word. Leisurely doing it isn't going to get anybody saved. Folks, I have been preaching for 35 plus years. I've been in the ministry full time 26 years. Do you know in all those years, listen to me, Brother Ray, I haven't had anybody run up to me and say, "I've watched your life. What must I do to be saved?" Not one time. Not once. "Well, you must not be living a good Christian life." They haven't had anybody either, just so you know. That's just an excuse for them not to go soul winning. Brother Stoltz, I've had tens of thousands of people I've knocked on their doors, told them about Jesus Christ, they bowed their head and got saved. I've been preaching in church services and outdoor meetings, anywhere I can gather a group of people, and seen a whole lot of people get saved by the tens of thousands. Well, how many of those really meant it? Let me ask you a question. How many of the fish you catch in a net really meant to get in that net? Same percentage of the ones you caught on the line one at a time at your leisure. Did you ever notice they go out with a hook and line and they think they've accomplished something? You know what I want to say? How sincere was that fish for biting that hook? You used deception. You were hiding the hook with a worm. We run our bus, and every once in a while, Brother Stoltz will give something away on the bus to help our young people and people on the bus to want to bring more people. You're just bribing people to come to church. Yes, we are. Well, that's not the right motive. Well, folks, listen to this statement. I'd rather preach to a jerk in the pew that came for the wrong motive than to preach to an empty pew. If he's got his carcass sitting in the seat, I got a chance for the Holy Spirit of God to get a hold of him. If he's not there, there's no chance. Throw the net, bring him in. Everybody doing all right? Did you know you can't catch the wrong color fish? You can't catch the wrong size fish? You can't catch the wrong race of fish? Did you realize you can't catch the wrong one in a net? Boy, that's good stuff. But can I tell you something? If you throw a net, it's going to be work to get it in. It's going to take a lot of work to get that fish in, because it's not going to be just one. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We were out fishing in New Jersey, my boys and I. And usually when we would go out, we would fish all night long. I don't know why, but we did. We didn't like sleeping, so we'd go out fishing. We'd start about 8, 9 o'clock at night. It was cooler in the summertime. Fish all night out in Perth Amboy and out in the bay there. And honestly, where we sat, you could sit there and you looked right up towards the Hudson River, and the Verrazano Bridge was right there. We could see it from where we were fishing. Gorgeous. We're sitting there. We were fishing one night. Man, I hooked into something, and it was something with substance. And we had already been pulling fish in that are about that long. And those are fun, and they fight for a little bit. But all of a sudden, something hit my line. And I said, "Fellas, this is something, whole different ball game." We got it up to the boat, Brother Harry. I had a 4-foot shark on there. And the guy that was running the boat said, "Pull that thing in here." I'm thinking, "You're stupid." We pulled that thing into the boat, and he got the hook out of that thing, and we got that thing picked up and threw it back over the boat. I said, how come you just didn't cut the line? He said, I wanted that hook. I said, you're nuts, man. My boys, man, they were getting as far away from that thing as they could, and that hook come out of that thing's mouth, and it's flipping and flopping everywhere. You say, where were you? Well out of its mouth's way. I saw how many rows of teeth and how many teeth were on each row and said, Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. Not doing that. Say, didn't you reach down and pull it out with your hand? No, I have all 10 fingers and both hands left. Amen. Didn't you get your picture taken with it? Anybody does that, you fool, you fool. I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. I got a couple little guide lights on a boat, and you want me to take a picture with a stupid shark? Uh-uh. Now, wait a minute. My boys were like, hang on. Which side of the boat are you throwing that thing on? Let's try to catch it again. Fellas, come on. No, oh, that's cool, Dad. Yeah, until you bring it in the boat again. He might have Grandma or Grandpa out there, and I don't want them. Now, wait a minute. Did you know you can't catch the wrong one with a net? You say, well, I don't know what to do with some of them. That's okay. You bring the net in. We'll figure out what to do with them. It's going to take you some work. Can I tell you something? Look at me. When you're net fishing, sometimes you're going to bring things in that net that aren't supposed to be in that net. You're going to have some debris. You're going to have some sticks. It's going to cause a little interruption in your life, like a bus kid might do from time to time. It's going to cause a little disturbance every once in a while. It's okay, we're going to keep on catching fish, amen? Just because there's been a disturbance, just because they might write on the bathroom wall every once in a while, or they might come tearing past you at 4,000 miles an hour, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to quit fishing. We're supposed to start training. By the way, Bible says, preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Can I tell you something? To get to every creature takes work. A little before 5 o'clock this morning, I was down here at Sheets getting a cup of coffee to make sure my eyes would stay awake this morning. Walked in there, and one of the young men that works there, I see him every week. He said, Pastor, I've been working all night. He said, you know, you're the only pastor I've ever seen before the sun comes up ever. I said, nope. He said, I don't go to church. He said, but the, oh, almost fell off the boat, amen. He said, Jimbo, quit laughing at me. Hit him again there, Loretta. All right, now, look at me. He said, Pastor, he said, I don't go to church. And he said, by the time I'll get off work on Sunday mornings, I'm dead. He said, but the day I want to come to church, I'm going to come to your church. I said, why you say that? He said, you're not like any other preacher I ever met. You're up and you work. He said, I've seen some of your people come in here. I said, how do you know they're mine? He said, they got those little pieces of paper with your picture on it and they give them to me. He said, that says something too. He said, your church is interested in people. It's not just a place to go. I said, young man, you want to come preach at my church this morning? No, I didn't say that. I thought that. Can I tell you something? It's going to take work. It's going to take work from me. It's going to take work from you. Did you know there are people in here? Some of you used to fish with a net. And you've let your net go to dry dock and haven't used it in years. Some of you have been toying with fishing, throwing a line every once in a while. And I'm happy for each line that goes out and every fish that's been caught. But can I tell you something? Put the line down, let's grab a net, and let's go get a whole bunch. Let's obey God. Maybe you've been caught in that net, and you came to church and you got saved. God said you're supposed to get baptized after you get saved, and then you're supposed to join church, and then you're supposed to go out and tell others about him. Time for you to learn how to start fishing. We caught you to go out and find more fish. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's times when you go fishing, you use fish for bait. You catch the little ones to catch the bigger ones. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We won't talk about chum. But may I say something to you? It's okay. Just start throwing the net. Say, well, preacher, I've thrown my net and I didn't catch anything. It's okay. You had a cleaner net. Matter of fact, Brother Mike, know a couple times in the Bible that these disciples got away from God and they fished all night long and caught nothing. And Jesus said, hey, fellas, put the net down on the right side of the ship. And as soon as they let the net down and pulled it back in, they had so many fish that the boat was about to sink. Say, what happened? They were fishing the wrong way. They weren't following the right fishing method. He didn't condemn them for not catching anything. He told them to throw the net again, not to change their method. He didn't say put the net down and throw a line. He said drop the net again. That's a lot of work. Drop the net again. Keep throwing the net. Well, I used to, preacher. Then pick up the net and let's start throwing the net again. There are people dying and going to a real hell because Christians won't throw the net. Thank God, Tuesday I'll do a funeral for a man. Thank God we threw the net for. He got caught in the net and got saved and is on his way. He's in heaven right now. Praise the Lord. Thank God Brother Fred Skaggs is sitting back there. Now I had to throw the net a bunch of times because he kept chewing through it. But I'd fix that hole in that net and throw it again. Eventually, I caught him, amen. And give up. And say, well, he didn't want nothing to do with it. I'm never going back. I thought, no, what a challenge. He bit a hole in my net. I'm going to get him. Then he bit through that thing again. And again. I thought, man, this thing's got teeth. I started using stronger rope. Guess what? God got him. Keep throwing the net. Keep throwing the net. Hey, it doesn't say only adults throw the net. Young people are supposed to throw the net. Can I tell you what the problem in America is? We're so self-centered that we only care about ourselves. You get your eyes off yourself when you start fishing for God. And can I tell you something? It's amazing what he does with our problems then. There are people in this room. You have a history of it. Don't be a used-to-wuzzer. Let's be a doer now. When Jesus said, let's fish for men, he wasn't talking about casting a line. He wasn't talking about a leisurely, hey, fellas, let's go fishing. Let's sit down on the side of the bank. We'll throw a line each. Open up our lunchbox and eat all day long, hoping something bites on that hook. And if it did, great. And if not, at least we had fun fishing. Amen. Thank you. He said, when you go fishing for men, take you a net. Throw that thing out there, work it hard, and catch as many as you can. And we don't care what color, what kind, what size, how big, how little, how fat, how skinny, how old, how young. Get anything and everything you can in that net and bring them to Jesus. Isn't that what verse 23 and 24 are all about? He healed all kinds of sick, tormented, lunatic, possessed with devils, those that had any diverse kind of disease, palsy. And the Bible says a great multitude followed him. By the way, when the disciples fished all night with nothing, told them to put the net on the right side of the boat, said they caught a great multitude of fishes. Wow. Let's just keep throwing the net. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, today if I died, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I won't lie to you. I won't lie to God. But I am sure, because I've trusted Jesus Christ and that alone to take me to heaven, I am that sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, maybe I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Today, we could take care of it. If you're under 18, we'd need mom and dad's permission. But if you're over that, we could take care of it. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon today, I needed that sermon. I need to go out and start throwing the net for God. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands. Maybe we just need to get the boldness to get up out of our seat, come to this altar, bow, and ask God to give us the strength to keep throwing the net. Folks, can I tell you something? God is in eternity are waiting for somebody to throw the net. There are fish for the pickings that we just need God. God needs you, let me say it that way, to throw the net. And then we'll be able to catch them. We'll be able to catch the fish if we just throw the net.